We've got Tiffany Ferguson today. She studied abroad in France. She wanted to learn French. She's also, that's her minor. Her major is media. She's interested in film, so French cinema sprinkled in there as well. And to that end, she's also got a YouTube channel, which is extremely popular, that we talk about. We talk about her trip, about travels, food, all the vegans out there, what it's like to be a vegan abroad, and then all the transfer students. I was a transfer student too, so she started in Southern California, and now she's in New York. So yeah, it's a great interview. I had a lot of fun with this one. Enjoy. I'll turn it over to Tiffany now. Thanks.
The three biggest reasons only 10% of students study abroad: they're afraid of being homesick, they don't think it's safe, and the number one reason people don't study abroad is cost. We're here to dispel all that. Find out exactly how that 10% crafted their study abroad journey and how you can too. I'm Chris Carlton, and this is the Study Abroadcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Study Abroadcast. This is Chris Carlton with Tiffany Ferguson. Tiffany, thank you very much for being here today. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm really, you know, it's long, brutal winter here, but getting through it. February is almost over. So tell me about, you studied abroad in France. You pronounce the name of the city. It's slipping my tongue right now, but it's near Marseille.
Yes.
I know that. But just tell me just basically a little bit about your background, because it sounds like you've bounced around a little bit before that too, right?
Oh man, I've bounced around a lot. My life over the past few years is pretty wild. Yeah. I am from Southern California, and then I decided to start college in New Orleans at Loyola University. And then while at Loyola, it was one of my goals to study abroad, so I figured that whole process out. And then since studying abroad, I've taken more time off school. I've moved to New York, and now I'm going to school in New York City.
Ah. And so why did you decide to go to New York?
Well, I met my boyfriend, who is English, at a camp that we were working at in upstate New York.
Okay.
And then I was planning on going back to California, but then a lot of stuff fell through with my transfer situation. So since that was wide open, I was like, you know what? I'll move to New York. I love a new adventure.
Yeah. Yeah. That whole like coast to coast trip. That's amazing.
Oh yeah. It's a lot.
So you're in the city now?
Yes.
Okay. And you said Hunter College, is that right?
Yes. I'm going to Hunter.
Okay. And wow. So that's gotta be interesting, going to school in, is it Manhattan actually?
Yeah, it is.
Wow. So yeah, I was just there for a conference, and I mean, yeah, it's the best city in the world, I think.
It's the big city.
Yeah. So, okay, so tell me about what made you decide to study abroad in France?
I took French in high school, and I'm from Southern California, so, you know, the vast majority of my friends took Spanish.
Yep.
But I had always just been a lot more interested in the French language. Mm-hmm. So since I started studying French, it was always a goal to go to France. You know, every teacher would say the best way to learn the language is to be able to immerse yourself and actually go there and speak the language every day.
Right.
So when I started college, I think it was, yeah, it must have been during my freshman year that I visited the study abroad office to just see like what my options were. But France was pretty much like the specific place that I wanted to go.
Mm-hmm. And so you went, when did you go?
It was spring semester of 2017.
Okay.
So I was there January to May.
Okay. And so when you went, first of all, how did you go about going, I guess is the question. Was it a third? No, you know what I'm talking about.
It's a big question. Yeah.
Was it a third party program? Was it a exchange? Tell me about that. What did you decide to do? Because there are like a lot of options out there.
Right. Yeah. I went to the study abroad office and I basically said, hi, I want to go to France. What are my options in terms of what is most affordable? So they had a partnership with ISEP. So with an ISEP exchange, I would pay the same tuition and pay for room and boarding.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of my school scholarships and stuff would carry over. So that was the simplest for me in terms of funding it.
Mm-hmm.
and knowing that they would accept my credits and everything. So with the ISAP exchange, they let you pick up to like five or six schools or locations that you're interested in,
Right.
but you don't really know what you're going to be placed in until they place you.
Yeah. That's like coincidence because I'm just edit like before I called you, I was editing a post with a girl who did ISEP. And so it sounds like they facilitate exchanges outside of like what your school has sister schools with or whatever. Would I be right in that?
Yeah, I think
Yeah.
so.
Okay. All right, we both think so. But yeah, I mean, I'm linking the website in hers, I'll link it in yours, but it looks like a pretty like their website looks pretty good. So, yeah, ISIP, ladies and gentlemen. And so you did it with them and you got the exchange, so you're paying the regular tuition. But on top of that, were you able to apply for any scholarships or grants? And if so, did you receive any?
I remember applying for, I can't remember what the name is now. I think it starts with a G. Oh, wait, I think it's the Gilman.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the kind of low income study abroad opportunity scholarship. And that was very heavily promoted at my school for the study abroad, participants. So I did go through the process of applying to that, but they did warn us that the Gilman does kind of prefer locations outside of like Western Europe. So
Right.
I knew, applying to France probably wasn't the most likely. So I was kind of betting on getting that scholarship, and then at the last minute, like probably a month before I was set to leave, I found out that I didn't get it. So then I had to, scramble and figure out my finances, because I think that's a very stressful thing to do last minute,
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, but you still got the exchange, so and yeah. No, as a general rule I've learned on the podcast so far, it's like the crazier location you go to, the easier it is to get scholarships for it.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, specifically if you're trying to like if you're trying to learn like Arabic or something, it's
Right.
the government's really big on that. But okay, so moving forward, so you're in the exchange, you go to France. Tell me, first of all, was this your first time out of the country?
No, it wasn't my first time out of the country. Just the summer before that, I had gotten my passport and went up to Canada because I had a friend in Vancouver.
Okay.
So not very different,
But like
but
first time
yeah, that
like
was my first time overseas.
across the pond.
Right,
Yeah.
yeah.
Okay, so just completely different. It's kind of ironic that you went to France too and they speak French in Canada, but okay.
Right.
So you get there, tell me about your living situation and going to classes. What was that like?
So with ISEP, they placed us into the City Universitaire, which is basically their version of dorms, but they're individual rooms. So it's a pretty small room, but you have your own little tiny bathroom, and it's a pretty nice setup. So with ISEP, there were other girls in the program who were doing the same French intensive like language study as I was. So there were about 10 of us in the group. All girls, all from across the US, and then one of the girls was from Ghana. So we just became, quick friends, and it was easy to have that group to be able to hang out with and get used to the city with. But yeah, it was pretty wild because it is a completely French program. So it's called the SUFLA at the Aix-Marseille University. So
Okay.
it's specifically for foreign students coming to study French in France. So everyone
Oh.
we met were, Americans, Australians, from Asia, just from all over.
Ah, nice. So it's all international students that you were with.
All international students,
Yeah,
yeah.
that's kind of how mine was too.
It's
But
very,
this,
very interesting because
yeah.
I hadn't had that many hours even throughout like 3 years of high school French and about 3 semesters of college French. I had never been used to speaking and hearing that much French. And
Yeah.
then suddenly we would have, like a 4 hour French class. And I would just be sitting there like, I can't even comprehend this. Like, it's so hard to listen to that much French when you're not used to it yet. But it definitely helped learn, so many new words in my vocabulary. And I got so accustomed to it really quickly.
So it was just straight like all French classes for the language, nothing else outside of the subject of French.
Well, basically, we just had to fit full-time schedules. So we have, it's the equivalent of 9 US credits in French language, and then about another US credit of a French phonetics class, and then I took a French theater class. But there were other like kind of electives about like, you know, international politics or cuisine. There were a couple of things to choose from, but I picked theater.
Okay, interesting. And okay, so now, yeah, so you've kind of painted a picture of your classes. You said the roommates, right? How many did you have total roommates?
Well, it wasn't roommates because it was in the dorm.
Oh.
So basically, there were a lot of different buildings at the Cité U. And
Yeah.
so I had a couple of friends that were in my specific building and then a couple in another building. But it's kind of just like a big block of, you know, dorm style buildings right next to each other.
I mean, I don't know if I'm on the right website. I think Cité Internationale Universitaire de Paris.
Mine
Is that?
was called Cité U de Cuc, which is
Oh, that this is in
CUQ.
Paris, Dequeuc.
Oh, right.
Okay,
Yeah.
yeah.
I'm like Aix-en-Provence, south of
But
France.
I googled it. I just googled Cité University. Okay. I see.
Yeah.
All right. No, but even so. Okay. So let's see here. moving on. I know, I'm just curious. Okay, so when you were there, and probably one of my favorite parts about talking to people that do France is that it's literally right in the middle of Europe. I think like that's another ancillary benefit is that you can go anywhere. So did you go anywhere else in France? Did you go to any other countries? Tell me about that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Especially because it was my first time to, you know, Europe as a whole. I wanted to take advantage of that and do a lot of traveling. So within France, I didn't get to see as much of France as I would have wanted to because, you know, they have so many diverse regions and there's so many great distinctions between all of them.
Right.
But in France, obviously, I spent time in the south. So I was in Aix-en-Provence, Marseille. We went to Montpellier, Nice, Nîmes. Our favorite little beach town is called Cassis. And then, of course, I spent a weekend in Paris.
Of course.
And then outside of France, we went to Barcelona for our like spring break, which was I think about a week, which is pretty generous for, you know,
Yeah.
one semester. And then after my semester, I went on like a 2 week trip.
Okay.
So, yeah, throughout the semester, it was a little bit difficult to travel too far because we had classes 5 days a week. So obviously we only had, you know, a few days to work with.
Right.
But let me go through my 2 week my 2 week
Sure.
trip. I was
Yeah.
a big fan of Flixbus, which is their, you know, their
I've heard
travel
that.
bus
Yep.
companies.
Yeah.
And those are super cheap. And, you know, if you can sit through the ride, it's a great way to get around. So
Yeah,
let me see.
definitely.
I have a whole list. I was like, I honestly can't even remember because it was like, you know, just so much traveling in a short amount of time. I started in Budapest and then went to Zagreb. I always pronounce that wrong. Zagreb. Yes. And then I went to Slovenia and saw Ljubljana and Bled. And then I went to Vienna, Austria, and Prague, and then Berlin in Germany, and then ended in the Netherlands, going to Amsterdam, Delft. And I always pronounce this wrong. I have a Dutch friend, and she could not understand what I was saying. But it's spelled Zaanschans. It's just like a very Dutch
I
kind of
can't.
town.
I've got. Don't. You're doing better. I'm at oui and je m'appelle. I can count to 15 in French. So don't worry about the pronunciation. I'm so sure no one's gonna leave a comment and critique your pronunciation of certain French
But
places. But okay.
it's funny now because you know, after that semester of speaking French more than I ever have, I haven't really had a lot of chance to use it since, and it's so sad to like feel my language skills kind of slipping away.
Right.
But yeah, these days, you know, if somebody were like, "Oh, speak French to me," I'm like, "Oh no, I can't. I'm out of practice."
Yeah, definitely. Okay. No, yeah, I'm the same way with Spanish too. Like I always list like if you ever apply for a job or not even applying for a job, but anywhere like how like other
Resume.
languages, I say limited working proficiency.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah,
That's a good way to get
that's
around
kind of where I am.
it.
But yeah, so okay, so with all this traveling and You definitely did make your way across Europe and also the country of France. But what is did anything stick out that you want to share, like a travel story or any story actually, like a funny thing or crazy thing that happened or something that went wrong?
Oh man, specific stories. Let me think about this. I think just kind of in general, like my favorite part of traveling was like kind of that quintessential backpacking element.
Oh, yeah.
Even though I wasn't like, hiking anywhere, I was living out of my like big Herschel backpack, and like I bought these like cheap fake Crocs to like hang off my backpack and wear in the showers of hostels. So just kind of like that entire feeling is like, that's kind of what people think of when they think of like, kind of roughing it through Europe. It's definitely not like an expensive way of traveling, but it's a very
No.
cool thing to do.
Yeah. Backpacking through Europe, it's like it's almost like a, I don't want to say an express, it is an expression almost, backpacking through Europe. It's not like backpacking through anywhere else, but yeah, it's something that people do. Did you ever, so you mentioned Flixbus, did you ever take any of the bullet trains?
No, I don't think I did. I think my budget was very limited, especially by the end of my semester there.
Yeah, well, no, yeah, definitely. It's just so I'm just curious, like are the bullet trains more expensive than the buses then?
Definitely. There are some FlixBus rides where, I'd take an 8-hour ride up to Paris, and that would be like, I don't know, less than 20 euros round trip.
Okay.
And yeah, the trains could
Oh,
actually
round
be pretty
trip?
expensive.
Whoa, wait, round trip for an 8-hour bus ride, so that's like $15, right, each way?
It's so
That's
cheap.
nuts. Yeah, that's really
The
good.
trains, I was interested in taking the trains because I think that's also like a really nice part of traveling through Europe is
Yeah.
just being able to relax and enjoy the scenery. But yeah, every time I was comparing costs, it would be usually cheaper to fly than to take any trains.
That's interesting. I'm wondering, like, I know they go so fast, but I'm just wondering, like, the complete time, right? And I don't know where the trains go, but the cost and everything, like if it's faster actually to take a train than a plane, given like the amount of time you've got to get to the airport and then you've got to check in and then you've got to go through security and then you got to get to the next airport and get your baggage. And I don't know, it's interesting, but okay,
It is, yeah.
yeah, but it's a different bear there, Europe, with all the traveling. It's not like the buses here either,
They have so many great options. I know, I came back and I was like, I wish I could just hop on a bus. I mean, I guess I could if I wanted to take a Greyhound or something, but
I
for some
did.
reason, that seems so different than like doing it in Europe to me.
I did. I was in Argentina when I studied abroad, and I've written about this in some of my blog posts. The buses there, because it's like people make enough. I don't know how to explain it, but they make like it doesn't make sense for them to fly, but they like the buses are like the planes, unless you are flying, right? And the buses there are insane. So if you go like on a long bus ride, they're the most like. They give you meals with wine. You can watch any movie you want. The seats are huge and reclining. The buses in Argentina are like really extravagant.
Wow, I'm like,
It's
I would take that bus.
not like a coach bus at all.
That's amazing.
So yeah. So now you living in France or the rest of Europe, but was there a certain food that you tried that you miss a lot or something that really stuck out or something maybe that you got like a baguette on the way to class every day. Like, what did you miss food-wise living in arguably the food capital of the world?
Yeah, the baguette is definitely spot on. I'm actually vegan, so I kind of miss
We've
out,
had
I
a
guess.
few of those on the show, yeah.
On the traditional foods, I mean, I went to school in New Orleans and I couldn't eat any of the, traditional
That's another
southern
thing,
foods.
yeah.
So going to
How long have you been
France,
vegan for?
it was about the year before I started college, so it's
Okay.
been, I think, almost 4 years now.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Crazy. But
So.
yeah, going to France, everybody was like, "Oh yes, the cheese and French food," and I was like, "Yeah, but no."
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
for
Yeah,
me,
but
I
no.
think of definitely the bread. The bread is just like truly to go and spend like 1 euro or less to get like the best bread you've ever had is just, it's such a unique thing. I also ate weirdly. I ate a lot of like just a bowl of chickpeas and lentils in my dorm room because I was too lazy to like cook a full meal in our little kitchens in there. But I was like, I need to eat something with nutritional value that's not just bread. So those are the foods I remember. And of course, wine.
It's so funny. There's so many things that are French, like French fries, French press, French bread, French toast. I don't know, but like it just has such a grip on culinary arts, I guess. But yeah, so that's thank you for sharing that with the chickpeas and all.
Oh yeah, very French.
So now since you've returned home, what is your major? Is it French?
At the time, or when I was going to school in New Orleans, I was a film major. Uh-huh. And I think I'll add a French minor because I've definitely taken enough courses in French to qualify for that. But since transferring, I've changed my major just to media studies, which is super relevant to what I'm doing on YouTube. But it's a little bit more broad than filmmaking.
No, yeah, we'll get into your YouTube channel in a second. But like, so how did your time abroad, let's leave the language alone for a second because that's obvious, but like just how did it help you with your understanding of the world or help your major help you better understand like globalization and cinema? I don't know, it's kind of a broad question, but can you speak to that at all, like how it better rounded you, I guess?
Definitely. Yeah, French cinema, I mean, that was a part of my film studies before even going to France, and it's such a significant part of film history and, you know, current film. But I don't know, it was so crazy. I mean, this is relevant to language, but to be, you know, to be in a country where you don't speak fluently and you struggle to express yourself, I found it so strange to not be able to really like express my personality. Mm-hmm. And it made me so like sympathetic, empathetic for, you know, people who are in countries where they're not a native speaker, but they're trying. Because I never really knew how difficult it is to just represent yourself like in a natural way.
Right.
So it just made me appreciate, first of all, being a native English speaker. It's so convenient, and we're lucky, you know, throughout my travels, there almost always was somebody who spoke English. Okay. And that's not the case for everyone who, you know, travels somewhere.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. So it helps to say the least.
Yeah, definitely.
And now tell me about, do you have any plans? Or tell me about Hunter College. You said you moved to New York, right? Mm-hmm. Why did you choose Hunter? There are a lot of schools there. Why Hunter?
Oh, man. Okay, prepare for the mess of my transfer situation again. So while in France, I had applied to transfer back to California because that's where I'm from.
Right.
So I was applying to UC schools, the public schools. And right at the end of my semester in France, I found out that I was rejected from all of them. And I'm like a 4.0 student. So I was like, something has to be wrong here.
Yeah.
I think it boils down to just the credits not transferring right. So I think I was like missing a core required class. So I automatically got rejected.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah. And I was like, oh man, what do I do from here? You know?
Yeah.
So then after meeting my boyfriend and deciding to move to New York, obviously my school plans changed a little bit. And I actually applied to a bunch of private schools in New York, like Fordham, NYU, the New School. And I got into all of those.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, wow, this is great. But then I looked at the tuition costs and I was like, okay, wait, I can't afford these. This is good.
Yeah.
So then after that, I actually just spent like 3 months in England. My boyfriend and I were visiting his family, so we got to experience English life a little bit. But while in England, I was applying to the CUNYs, which are the public schools, mm-hmm. because I just was like, okay, I need to finish my degree and I would like to do it in an affordable way. And the CUNYs are great schools, you know, all of them are really highly rated. So I just picked Hunter because it had a good program and it's easy to get to.
Great. Yeah, that makes sense to me. I mean, just the cost of living in New York alone is expensive. Do you mind me asking what part of the city you're in?
Yeah, I'm in Queens.
Okay.
So yeah, my boyfriend has been working in Long Island, and I have to go to Manhattan for school, but we kind of wanted to live somewhere a little bit more mellow. I'm not a big fan of Manhattan in terms of like living there. I think it's a little too busy for me.
Right.
So Queens has like less, high-rise buildings, and it's just a little bit more like low key.
Sure. I agree with you. It's more like a neighborhood than it is
Right.
a city. And so now you're a junior, is that right? Or a
Yeah,
senior?
I think I'm technically junior level.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know like what you want to do after graduation or where like what are you planning to do with all this?
Oh man, who knows?
Okay. No, it's the right answer. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, okay.
Well, one reason is like finishing my degree, I obviously want to do because, I already have student loans. I would like to finish my degree and have something to show for those loans. And then, of course, there's just the accomplishment of finishing your degree. I think that's great. But yeah, in terms of job prospects, I think that my media studies degree would be able to help me in getting a job, but I think that my YouTube experience is even more powerful.
Oh yeah.
So if I wanted to go into, I don't know, something like influencer marketing or something, I think I would have a lot of relevant experience for that. But also I'm interested in documentary, and I would really love to possibly still be some kind of a filmmaker. So it's completely wide open.
Yeah. So yeah, to that end, tell me about your YouTube channel, Tiffany Ferg. What's that all about?
Oh man, I have literally been on YouTube since I was 12 years old, like the beginning of YouTube. So my channels have evolved a lot over the years, but my channel actually had a big change during my semester in France. So I owe a lot of my success to that because I started to make videos, about the whole process of studying abroad and about the language and about getting used to, your new surroundings. And then I made a video with one of my French friends, and we were just talking about the differences between France and the United States. And that video, like 2 months after I posted it, blew up in views around the time, I think, of was it the French election, or there was something relevant happening like in French news that made it come up in the search somehow. So then my channel, I think I got like 25,000 subscribers. And that
Oh my
helped me get
God.
near 100,000 total. So that gave me a big boost of new subscribers who are also, passionate about travel and French language and French culture. So that was really cool because those are such a diverse group of viewers. They come from all over the world, and
Right.
it's so cool to get messages from people who are like, "Oh, you inspired me to study abroad. I'm going to go to the same school that you went to, or I'm going to go to Germany or wherever."
Yeah. I mean, it's insane. Like, you've got over 11 million views on your YouTube channel, right?
Yeah, that's cool
That's
stuff.
nuts. You might not even, yeah, just not even, like, just keep doing this after you graduate. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely can't complain. YouTube has actually like it's never really been my full-time job. It's been like kind of a part-time job. But literally just in the past, I'd say like the past month or so, this has actually become like my stable full-time job. Which is a very exciting thing, and I'm only hoping that it continues to grow in the future. But yeah, I mean, I would love to be able to continue doing this until I'm, ready to move on in some way.
Sure, yeah. Everything, just so you guys know, will be linked in her post, her YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, all that, so you'll be able to find her. And then move just the last part is a little kind of rapid fire section as far as recommendations go. Do you have any book recommendations?
Oh, book recommendations about France?
About anything? No, it doesn't have to be about France.
Oh, in general. Oh man, that's stressful.
Ugh.
I've actually been trying to read a lot more, but I tend to read a lot of like YA novels, which are just good stuff. So I
Okay.
guess I could reply or recommend some of those. Most recently, I read two novels by Jandy Nelson. Called The Sky Is Everywhere and I'll Give You the Sun.
Okay.
And those are so good. They just made me cry, and I love them.
Really, the book made you cry.
Oh,
That must be a great
absolutely.
book.
I can
Okay.
also cry very easily. I'm a pretty sensitive person, but
Okay.
I do love, any kind of video, movie, book, anything that can make me cry. I love that kind of
Yeah.
emotional
No,
connection.
definitely. Okay. And like any, so someone that kind of is in technology too, with the YouTube and Instagram and social, do you have any recommendations like apps or blogs or websites that you use or you know about or any other podcasts maybe? I know you have, wait, you have a podcast too, right?
I do have a podcast.
Okay, so that one. What's your podcast called?
My podcast is called Previously Gifted.
Previously Gifted. Okay, we'll put that in there too. Is that on iTunes?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. All right. And then I guess finally, what advice would you give to a student who's thinking about studying abroad but not really sure if they should go through with it?
Oh my gosh, all I would say is do it. I know people always say that, find some way to do it. For me, like most recently I've been watching and kind of just taking in a lot of like financial content. I'm 23 and I'm trying to figure out my adult life, trying to figure out how to be responsible. But I will say a lot of people ask me like, how do I afford to study abroad? It's so expensive. Like, do I have to save up thousands of dollars? Should I just take out loans? What should I do? And I definitely acknowledge that cost is like a huge factor. But again, I would say if affordability is your biggest concern and you are open to going to more kind of non-traditional study abroad destinations, like you said, there are so many more scholarship and grant opportunities, and those are definitely worth taking advantage of. But yeah, I mean, like, save up as much as you can. Of course, it's great to be prepared in that way. And this is probably not the most responsible thing to say, but like, I'll admit I did get into probably a good amount of credit card debt from, my spending while I was in France
Yeah,
after my
great.
like stipend and everything were done. But
I wish more students would say that and talk about that and at least admit to that.
yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I think as a young adult, you have to fight your battles, and debt is definitely one of them. Credit cards can be a scary thing, but I would say like I would never regret any of the money that I spent traveling, because especially once I was there, like the biggest thing is getting over there. That's a pretty big expense. So once you're there, like, yeah, you have to spend a lot more to travel around and pay for hostels or hotels or whatever and food, but it's so worth it. You are never going to regret spending your money on those kind of experiences.
Yeah, so I ask everyone if they have a quote that they want to share, and one of them, I forget who it was or who said it, but it's to the end of, you can't waste your money on travel. Like, you
Yes, I
can
love
waste your
that.
money on a lot of things, but you can't waste your money traveling.
I totally agree with that. I don't think that anybody who has traveled, I mean, okay, there are things that you may waste your money on while you're there. I've bought some bad food and been upset about it, but like, you're not going to be upset about going.
Right. No. Yeah, I agree. Do you have a quote that you have that you want to share?
I'm like, I wish I had like a cute French one, but not really.
Oh.
I'm not a
Okay.
big quote person,
No, then skip it. It's okay. You don't have to have one. It's not a requirement. Yeah, that's all I have. Anything else you want to add, Tiffany?
Oh yes, I do want to give a little shout out to one of my favorite YouTube channels,
Sure.
which is called The Purple Palace.
Oh, great.
It's a YouTube friend that I met just through finding her videos, but her name is Shayna, and she is an artist and student in Paris. And she originally, I think, went to be an au pair years ago, and then she met her now husband, and now she's an expat, living in France. And so anybody who's interested in artsy and French content should definitely check out her channel. She's very, very creative and super inspiring. I always learn like really great kind of like more native expressions from her videos, because that's one thing is like the difference between the language that you learn in class and textbooks is so different to how people actually speak. So any chance you get to learn like native phrases is really helpful.
No, definitely. Yeah, I apologize if I've skipped over that before with the recommendations, but
Oh, no.
yeah, I will definitely link to it and many other things, I guess. A lot of links coming at you in this one. Guys, Tiffany Ferguson, be sure to connect with her. Connect with me too. Leave me an honest review of the show. Let me know how I'm doing. Social media, you know the drill. Tiffany, thank you very much for doing this. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
All right. Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed the show. Be sure to check out all the really neat infographics on the rest of the posts as well as the interviews. There's a lot of good information. You should also download Studying Abroad 201. I really recommend it if you need kind of a fire lit under your ass for studying abroad and you need some motivation. It crafts my journey and exactly what I did. Also, we can email you new interviews or you can connect with us on social media. All right, thanks a lot.